Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay. Oh, hello, the internet. Pipe down. No giggling in my class. I know I may be having a good time as a substitute teacher, but this is a very serious lecture. Hello, internet. Hello, my students. Hello, listeners. Welcome to season 197, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist. It's a production of iHeartRadio, and it is the podcast that also takes a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and maybe the world's today because big report came out. But I digress. It is Tuesday, August 10th, 2021. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. I host this podcast on this summer day when Jack is gone. I crashed the show into the bridge. I watched I Let It Burn. I threw hot takes into the void and pushed it down the stairs. Yes. I crashed the show into the bridge. T-D-Z. I love it. T-D-Z. Okay. Iconic pop. And also yes, iconic yes, AKA yes. From Ravioli God. Thank you for being like, hey, when Jack's away, say this. You crashed the show into a bridge and you watched it burn. And you know what? It's burning. And it's wonderful. And who is that one guy? Ben Harper, who said, I'm going to burn one down. That was like the one stoner song from I'm going to burn one down. Anyway, that's me. Shout out to Ravioli God again on the Discord for that. And... don't worry. While there is one substitute host that's lacking, we bring in a guest co-host that is adequate, that is able, that is apt, yes. That is talented. Mm. I am thrilled to be joined by my co-host. Nay, I would say my support cane to help me keep this show upright. Yes. Someone who this, I'm just saying, I'm building the infrastructure off her back. She's a podcast host, podcast producer, a writer, a culture, media critic, commentator. What else can you say? She's right now, we found out, has one of the best laughs in the game, according to our guest we'll introduce later. But please welcome now to the stage, the wonderful guest co-host for today, Miss Joelle Monique!
Miles, woo! Every time I'm here, a little more legendary, that intro. Thank you so much. Glad to be back, especially when we have news I can talk about. Nerd movies this weekend. I'm excited.
Okay. What new movies? Oh, Suicide Squad, huh?
Miles, oh my God. What new movies? The only one!
I'm stuck in such a weird place with movies, you know, like, I in my mind, they're still a thing that aren't happening anymore, but I realize they are. That's me having a reckoning with what's happening.
That is literally the crux of our conversation around this movie. Is what makes a movie good? Is it box office sales? And what does that mean in the middle of a pandemic? Oh, right. So many questions.
Oh, well, I'm glad. See, I'm glad I have you here to say, because I might just be like, what's the problem? I think it's good. And then people are like, what is he fucking saying? This guy never fucking knows. Look, I got my head in so many different places, y'all. There's a lot happening in the news. I'm sorry. It's not that I hate shit. I'm just wild. I'm slow with the pickup sometimes. But let's not delay this anymore. I want to introduce our guest today. Someone who I really, really love, enjoy speaking with. It's always a pleasure having this legend on the show. Our next guest is, what isn't she? I'll tell you what she is. She's a comedian. She's a comedic actress. She's a writer. She's just all around. I mean, she's pulling faces, but that also means she's one of the most humble people I've met. And one of just the kindest people that I've met as well. And someone who I love talking sports with. You might know her from her comedy. You might know her from her various appearances all over as a stand-up comedian, or maybe her podcast, Sports Without Balls. But I know her as one of my favorite guests. Please welcome to the stage, Erin Foley!
Yeah!
Oh, a new manager of Joel's Laugh! What's up, Zeitgeist people? Is that what you call your fans?
Zeitgang, I think, is what we say for tax purposes. For our religion that we're trying to get a little tax shelter for. But
oh, yeah. My whole life is a nonprofit, but not according to the IRS. Oh, tax enough. Joke. Tax joke.
Tax joke in August. Here we go.
There we go.
What's new, Erin?
Good
What's
to new? See you, Miles.
Yeah,
and
likewise.
Now my new friend, Joel.
Hey. Yes.
Well, just taking it one day at a time, and perfect. If I hit 5 o'clock and my head's not in the toilet, I don't feel that overwhelmed. It's a good day.
Yeah.
Right now, it's a struggle.
You were traveling a lot. I feel like last time we crossed paths, were you not? Or you were mobile. You seemed to be all around this weird
country.
Well,
I was doing some traveling before it shut down, and then when it shut down, I was like, "This is the worst thing ever." So awesome that I don't have to travel. And now I spent the pandemic in a senior community in Naples, Florida, as you do.
That's right. That's right. That's what I was thinking of.
And now I'm back and starting to do some stand-up on the road a little bit.
Right.
Just a little. And I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, just really kind of happy to be back in L.A.
What's the retirement community scene like in Naples? Whenever I hear retirement community Florida, all I think is the Villages or whatever that place is called.
Yeah.
It where that documentary is about to come out.
Like a lower percentage of STDs for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Too long of a story, but we wound up spending about 7 months there.
Oh my God.
And my partner, Sarah, and I, the good thing, it was leading up to the election, and Naples is, let's just say, not friendly towards left-leaning gay people.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. So, but I have to say, everyone was friendly. There wasn't a lot of people there. I got to know my partner's family a lot better. So there's a lot of wonderful silver linings. I'm not moving there. Mm-hmm. I am ready to retire, though. So okay. That was the biggest
aren't
life lesson, right?
We
can we just
level?
Hang it up?
Yeah. Can't we just lean back and just spend hours playing Sims and Civilization on computers?
A
and gaming
dream.
Consoles?
I right? Build beautiful houses for hours.
Or playing fantasy sports over and over. Just
all
getting into new fantasy sports. I mean,
just literally on my phone 24 hours a day playing fantasy baseball. Can I do that professionally?
Don't
young children do that now professionally? When I say young children, I mean
think
people in their
20s. I think it's called crypto nowadays or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know what the kids are into these days. before we get to know you better, Erin, I do want to let listeners know, Zeitgang listeners, people who may be interested, we, the Daily Zeitgeist, are going to have a live virtual streaming show August 25th. And we would love to see you virtually. You know, we had a little tour going at the beginning of 2020, and who'd have thought God said this is a bad idea and just hit the brakes on the whole thing. But we still want to share that show with you because it's really awesome. So you can go to momenthouse.com/thedailyzeitgeist to get your tickets and also maybe a commemorative poster there. And you might see the likenesses of, you know, me, Jack, super producer Anna Hosnier, and maybe a machine that represents the year 2000. I don't know. But check out momenthouse.com/dailyzeitgeist and check out those tickets. Now, let's get into it. Before we get to know you, Aaron, we got to say, what are we talking about? We're going to have to talk about this IPCC climate change report that was just released. Because we have to.
It's horrifying.
It's our earth. It's our future.
It's happening to us right now. Oh my gosh.
If you're not frightened for yourself, you'll have reason to be frightened for your progeny and their progeny and so on and so forth. And I think this really goes to underline just how dire the situation is. But in a way, it's fans saying like, but we can do something about it. But it's really fucked up, though. Y'all waited to the fuck around part, and now we're finding out part. And then we'll kind of go along with that because, you know, we'll see, we'll check in with what is happening with the Senate. And, you know, they had ideas on how to, you know, legislate their way out of climate change. And also just the various ways we're dealing with it, from the problems that we have reporting climate change to even the ways we are, you know, sort of disconnecting from the sort of overwhelming feeling of dread that we have, to start picking fights about other really inconsequential things because the climate is too overwhelming. Then we'll maybe check in with AOC, where CNN is trying to put words in her mouth that she's not saying. We'll see what happened with some people got disinvited to Obama's birthday party. Yikes! And that's already just a bunch of comedy through lines waiting to happen. But more importantly, I want to talk Suicide Squad 2 with Joelle because I don't know what that is. And what that means. So we'll do that and more. But first, Aaron, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay, this one's juicy. Are you two ready?
I hope so.
This really explains my entire life in one click of a search history. Is that something? I don't know. I haven't had enough coffee. Okay, this happened like last night, but again, I searched it again this morning. I searched the sentence, is Samantha Kerr and Christy Mewis dating?
Yes.
Wow.
Because, now, if you don't know who those women are, get ready to have your mind blown. Samantha Kerr is the Australian women's national team best player. Football. Yes. Soccer.
Yes.
Soccer, but over there they call it football. Who cares?
Yeah.
Christy Mewis made our U.S. women's national team this year. She's a phenomenal NWSL player. And icing on the cake, her sister plays, Samantha Mewis. So it's like this amazing dream team sister soccer. So last night, I'm just doing my Olympic, you know, recount just to make sure I've got, I mean, I've just literally watched Olympics 24 hours a day for the last 2.5 weeks. It was just the greatest thing ever. Just crying, feel good,
yeah,
crying.
Yeah.
You know, cheering for everybody. I'm not like
crying,
a U.S.
crying,
pig.
Crying for all the,
you know
what I'm saying?
Just crying. Everyone's getting sick and dying. Gold medal. China. Then I stumble on a picture of Christy Mewis. No idea if she was gay. Maybe she's not. Maybe she just likes ladies this week. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Samantha Kerr, big homo. I'm a big homo, so I can say that. They're kissing. They released it on Instagram. And Aaron Foley's mind was blown.
Ooh.
Blown.
Yes.
So what? I mean, what do we do with this? Were you even shipping them before? Did this just blow you up? Because you're like, I didn't even think this was.
First of all, Samantha Kerr has had a long-term partner. They have a kid together. I don't know how this is going to work logistically.
Oh, gosh. Oh, boy. Oh, goodness.
Then I didn't even know they broke up. Then they broke up. Christy Mewis, she just looked so straight to me. So I was like, then my mind was blown, which is so stupid to say because who looks gay and straight? But you know what
right.
I mean? As a lesbo, you're like, that one's a lesbo.
You're like,
Christy Mewis did not see that one coming. So I'm so happy right now. We've got like this cross. Samantha Kerr is like just a dream sequence on the soccer field. I fear her the most when we play Australia.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're dating.
The Matildas, right? Isn't that what
the Matildas.
Called?
Yeah. I'm just so happy for them. I'm cheering for them. And it just like the world getting a little gayer, it just makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Real life L word drama here. This is exciting.
Yeah.
So do you think under the surface, do you think that there's, you know, you said she has a partner who she has a, like they're raising a child together with? Like, do we know the timing? Is it messy? Is it sloppy? I don't know.
I hope it's all okay.
That's where my trash TV brain comes in. I'm like, tell me it's a mess. But what passionate
it's women,
mess.
So it's probably going to be a little messy.
A little bit of a mess. Light mess.
I used to have this thing where, you know, like it's all like, you know, it was an old joke, but really it's based on the truth. Like men, you know, they just run, gay men just run into a bar and stick it in. Right. But women, like our app would be called like On the Verge, where you got an update of two women on the verge of breaking up because lesbians are single for 35 seconds. And then you swoop down and I'm like a bird of prey and you just pick one up from the house.
Yeah. All that checks out.
So. Right.
So it should be called rotting flesh, right? If you guys are or if you guys are these carrion birds, then it's like there.
On the Verge is more positive, Miles.
Yeah,
than
I'm sorry.
The rotting flesh.
That's
flesh,
where my grinder mind comes in, where I'm like, grinder.
Bro.
You know what I mean? I'm like, what about rotting flesh? What about necrotic tissue?
Let's go not on grinder. So
yeah. Okay. But good to know. Right. So
I feel like it's a little messy.
In.
They're swooping in. So I feel like they're both single for 35 seconds. I'm going to say I'm going to vote for messy. I don't know, but if I was betting, I'd say I'd bet on a mess.
Appropriate pun considering, you know, Lionel Messi, big in the news also.
Ugh, so
not
sad.
At Barcelona. So shout out sad. To shout out to the Mets.
Shout out to Paris for getting that guy.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to them for flouting every financial fair play rule there is to be like, we have Neymar, Mbappe, now we have Messi. Don't ask how we can afford it. Okay.
No, unimportant.
So yeah, we'll just put one of our board members on the head of the club council and UEFA, and then maybe they'll just sort of, I don't know. That's
super
what it
group.
Is.
Super group.
Yeah, definitely a super group. Aaron, what is something that you think is overrated?
Organized religion, but we don't have time for that right now. So I'm going to say having your shit together is my new thing that I think is overrated.
Uh-huh. Tell them in the middle of a pandemic. Yes.
We need to hear this more. Go on, please, Dr. Foley.
I just, you know, I think it stems that my mom was here for a week. And, you know, when you're hanging around someone that's like in their 80s, they drop like some pearls of wisdom. And then, like, unfortunately, like two untimely deaths in the sort of comedy adjacent world. Mm-hmm. And then like seeing how everybody is like crying when they get a bronze. It's like, you know, you know, it just feels like just whatever you can do to get through the day. Life is hard. I would say kind of lower the bar and not having it all together is fine.
It's fine.
You know, it just is this extreme push to have it all together and to be perfect is just so dumb and overrated.
You are literally surviving historic, unprecedented moments. Not only is it a pandemic, not only is the entire globe on fire. Like, if you are just living and making a congratulations, awards, gold sticker, you did it.
Yeah.
I think, and it's interesting how we used to have this narrative, right, where it's all the time we have such hero worship, and we still do, like, celebrity worship to a very catastrophic extent. But it's, like, slowly thawing, you know, where I think many people, even as millennials and younger, like, I don't need to be like this fucking, you know, I think all of us, I definitely grew up with this idea of, who and what the fuck I would be doing by the time I was 40. And I'm like, oh, get ready, fucking world, because they when they say Miles, it's only going to be one that they know, and it's Miles Gray. And then very quickly, you're like, man, you know what? Maybe if I have healthcare, that's tight, too. That's kind of a win also. And, like, I have, you know, minimal debt, you know, shout out to I'm about to pay off my car. So
nice.
I'm winning. But, you know, like, you really realize just for your own mental health, like, that happiness really has to sort of start from like what you're feeling inside rather than like a lot of these external expectations we build or just our own expectations we have. So, yeah. And having your shit together, like just have your shit together enough that you are taking care of yourself. You can maybe extend that outwardly to some other people, but nobody's asking you to, you know, change the fucking world or you to become uber successful, however you define that. Like That's why I think the Olympics are important. I mentioned this last week. Like, I quit my job in politics because I watched the Olympics because I just saw people that were so happy. And I was like, that's a fucking, I don't know if I'll ever be that happy doing what
I'm
doing.
Oh, my God. That's so interesting, Miles. You know? That's awesome.
Because to your point, Aaron, right? You see people, and I hate to bring this up again, but like when you watch the Olympics, these people very simply have distilled their life down to, I need to train for this one event or a couple of events so I can compete. And I hopefully can medal in this event. And like, that will be great for me. And when you have your shit down that simply, like, I mean, granted, that's a very high thing to attain, isn't any kind of Olympic medal. But when they get it, you're like, wow, that's truly just this very simple formula, which is I love to do this thing. I will keep doing that because that makes me happy. And when I did the thing that I wanted to do because it was a thing that made me happy, I'm in tears. You know what I mean? I'm not in tears if I get, you know, some free fucking car rental or some shit. like that. Like, you know, you want to feel like you can spread joy or some shit. You know, it's all different. So,
yeah. It's just, that's the proper term. It's really, and I think this is like a lesson as you get older and older and older. It's like really distilling it down to those one or two things. Because part of the whole thing of like having your shit together is like, it's sort of like, I do this. And it's like the writer / producer / blah, blah, / and you're just like, I'm getting no slashes. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, today I just like took a walk and I want to play some pickleball later. And I want it just a couple of things that make you happy. To me, that's like having your shit together.
I saw people playing pickleball and then I looked at some highlights. That shit looks so fun because to me it's like busted ass, like not as athletic tennis, but it's you can get very athletic with it, but like it feels very easier or a lot easier to get into and a lot more fun.
Were you destroying the old people at the retirement center in pickleball?
Oh, I mean, like we'd come off the court. My partner Sarah's actually really good, and she's like, I knew she'd be good because she played tennis in high school. But you know, we'd come off the court and be like, we dominated, and they were like 82.
Yeah,
and they're like, I need a new hip. What did you do?
The thing is, they can at any age you can be good. Like if they're you don't need to smash it. Like, you know, we could get our butts kicked tomorrow by 2 80-year-olds because of like the strategy. It's so fun. Everyone should try it. It's really light and fun, and it's awesome.
I love it.
What's something you think is underrated?
This sounds ridiculous. Well, I'm a ridiculous person, but I'm going to say earphones, earbuds, earphones, headsets, whatever the term is you use, are underrated. And it sounds weird because, like, here's why they're underrated. When people don't have them in, I want to murder them.
Yes.
Literally murder them. So now I and this started in Florida when people are walking around just blasting like whatever they are,
awful
whatever.
Beings.
Mm-hmm. I'm in Beechwood Canyon now. 90% of the people have earbuds, whatever. But when they don't, or someone like is taking a meeting outside the apartment and they don't have your ear, it just goes to rage. No self-awareness.
Right.
I don't think I could ever truly hit a person unless they were like attacking a loved one. Mm-hmm. But it makes me feel like, could I murder?
Right.
Like, I definitely ball my fist up. And that's where it
I will throw so much shit with my eyeballs.
It.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You're going to know I'm displeased.
What do you think it is? I mean, because clearly we're all sound respecters because I think we all had the same reaction to being like, oh, they're going full speaker.
You're like,
What do you think it is? Because I feel like some people I see like want to be like, yeah, man, I'm on a phone call right now. So you're going to hear that because I'm talking to people. Like, it feels like that's all it's accomplishing. Like, that's the only, it's not like you don't seem hard of hearing or something like that. Like, it's more like you seem like you want to broadcast that you're on a phone call. Or is it that, let us know, listeners, because look, this is where maybe we need to bring the worlds together. Are you guys doing it because you just aren't aware that other people might be like, get this fucking infernal racket off? When they're like, I just like it's easier than putting it to my head. I don't know, but I don't like it. You know,
I mean, again, this is me getting older and like get off my lawn. Maybe this is get off my lawn moment. But yeah. It just feels like there's no self-awareness. You know what I mean? And it's like this is what we need more than ever is like empathy and self and just being respectful to the person right next to you.
Right.
And when there's no earbuds on, I start to get real twitchy and
because
go, I don't get
terrible
it.
Terrible sound. Like there's no amount, like it's a phone 85% of the time.
Yeah.
And so the sound that's coming out is trash. On top of that, I did not want to hear it. Like as a public transportation rider, there's nothing worse than somebody who's like, let me blast my terrible jams out my phone speaker. We're in a bubble you cannot escape. Hell.
Right.
Absolutely hell. No.
Right.
If you can't afford headphones, you just have to deal. Like, and I've been there. Okay. I think it's somebody who's been there. You just got to go without tunes for the 15 to hour and 20 minutes you have to be or, on public transit.
Why don't we talk to our legislators and make free earbuds available to people so there's no excuse anymore? It's like a mask. You know what I mean? Oh, you look, we know, you know, there's free earbuds at the front of the train.
Just
you can get them right there. Don't fucking blast because the baby is canceled right now. Yes. I don't want to hear any more of it right now.
I'm so sorry to talk over you. I just meant, like, if you have a phone, I feel like you can get some cheap earphones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, one doesn't...
They're $6.99 at Walgreens. They're not great headphones, but they are better
you
than...
You know what sucks,
this
though?
This pair I got literally 10 years ago. It fits into my computer. They're, like, they're practically brown.
Universal.
I've used them so much. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
they're
just...
Leathered.
Just come on.
The worst, though, is when somebody's playing tunes and then they play one you like and you're like, oh, shit, okay, you know what? I'm not too mad at this person. And then all your values go out the window. Like, oh, I kind of needed to hear that right now.
Okay,
I
turn this one up. Turn this one up.
I'm sorry. Hey, does anybody have another speaker you can link to that? Because we should get this going. But it is what it is. All right, let's pay some bills. We'll be right back and we'll talk climate after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. So, deep breath, the climate, it's changing. I think that's very clear to anyone because, you know, we're just using our dumb people, regular eyes to go, yeah, something's not right. Things seem to be getting worse. On Monday, we saw the release of the report from the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. So you'll probably be seeing IPCC trending a lot everywhere. And they put together, obviously, one of the most comprehensive studies on the issue. But again, I don't know if that distinction is really that necessary, because most of us are like, yeah, I know. We know. What the fuck are we going to do about it, though? Thank you. Thank you so much for the thousands of pages of research that you've done. But we also, many of us, are very concerned. The UN chief called this a, quote, code red for humanity,
sure,
which I think can't be understated enough. And I wish, when he said a code red for humanity, I wish this was some promo about a new Mountain Dew flavor that was coming out. But it's not. It's about that we are in such a bad situation. We need to be thinking, existential sirens need to be going off in everyone's minds. And I know many people have been thinking about this, but this is another moment where I think there's the release of this is timed to happen right before there's a huge, like, international summit on climate happening in Glasgow. So many leaders have to get together and be like, okay, we don't have any more excuses, although I'm sure they'll come up with some. But yeah, there's a few things in this that just, like, sort of the main points. The biggest one is that people, not that you and I, but human activity is the sole reason why the climate is changing. There is no other explanation except for the activity of human beings and the industries that are just massive polluters. So let's nail that on, okay? I think most of us have accepted that. They just say that, essentially, quote, society's reliance on fossil fuels is the reason the planet has already warmed to 1.2 degrees Celsius. Remember that 2 degrees Celsius goal that we were trying to avoid? Mm-hmm. Right now, the projections are saying we're going to get to 1.5, possibly within the next two decades, even if we radically change things. So to avoid 2 degrees, we have to absolutely get this thing under control. The next point, which is cutting emissions to zero, is the only way we're going to stop this. We have to think of a future where we are not, like, actively emitting carbon dioxide, methane, these other greenhouse gases. So that's the thing, yep, is we have to do that before hopefully 2050, because if not, we could reach a 3-degree change by the end of the century. And that would be absolutely, you know,
catastrophic.
Again, catastrophic. Mm-hmm. Another thing that was from the report, methane is at record levels. It's showing that methane in the atmosphere is skyrocketing and is currently the highest it's been in 800,000 years, largely because a combination of natural gas leaks and unsustainable agriculture and cattle farming. So this is another thing to put on our minds. I know many people, we've talked about this a lot, and most people have heard that shifting away from sort of meat, especially red meat, and towards, like, plant-based diets will help a lot. And also just finding a way to sustainably raise cattle is another huge thing. Like, there are restorative ways to raise these animals, that needs to become the norm if we're going to sort of begin to even picture how we navigate this without sort of major changes to, you know, culturally the way that we eat and things like that. Extreme weather will persist. That is just the one thing they said. We have passed, PASSED, the point where we can actually do anything to reverse what we're seeing now. The only things we can do are to mitigate just how frequently we're going to, you know, experience these things. So, again, I'm going to be talking for a while, and I hate to bring people down, but this is what I just want to make sure is crystal clear before we start joking for our own, to soothe our own wounds. Yeah. So for an example, with heat waves, at 2 degrees warming, if we get to that 2 degrees Celsius change, this frequency increases to 14 times as likely to occur. So what we saw in the Pacific Northwest in Canada that took all those people's lives, that will become 14 times as likely to occur. Heat waves are just going to get hotter. And again, with 2 degrees of warming, the hottest temperatures could go around 5 degrees Fahrenheit higher than even previous heat waves were. So you thought 120 was bad? How about 125? You thought 115 was bad? How about 120? These are the things that we're talking about. Droughts. If warming continues to the 2-degree point, these droughts will occur, like we're seeing in the Western United States, between 2 and 3 times as often, rather than something that would happen, you know, over maybe once every couple decades or once a decade, have a drought like that. Flooding, again, it's going to intensify because the water cycle on both sides, which means more intense evaporation, will lead to more drought. But because the air is hotter, it can hold more water vapor to produce just extreme rainfall. We saw the floods in Germany and Western Europe. We saw what happened in China. Many people lost their lives because suddenly we had these just catastrophic downpours. And again, those are increasing about 30% in terms of their frequency. Hurricanes are also going to grow stronger. We already know that. We're seeing that. Sea level rise is rising around the world, and the rate is increasing. The worsening high tide and flooding and storm surges are going to continue. By 2100, once-in-a-century coastal flood events will occur at least once a year.
Oh.
Okay? At least once a year. Mm-hmm. And then other things like weather whiplash. Let's just throw that one on there for just to, if you needed another thing to be worried about.
What in the goddamn?
This is when we go from super hot and then suddenly as super hot and dry to just suddenly very wet. This is kind of like you saw this in California. There are these things called atmospheric rivers that were causing these like really bad floods. So, all again, take a deep breath, y'all. We're really truly past this point where I remember as a kid in like the 90s, and it was like, we got to save the planet. I was always like, man, I get it. We got time. But yeah, we really got to do some of that shit. Even fucking 4 years ago, I was like, we got time. Because it felt like that was the tone of our leadership. And I think for me personally, and I think most human beings, you have to compartmentalize on some level because you don't want to acknowledge how dire the situation is on the planet. And you don't want to think, it's overwhelming to think, we have to cut all the emissions to zero eventually to even navigate this thing.
Miles, it is overwhelming. And also, it's mostly frustrating, right? Because we know that on an individual level, you could be the most like sustainable human being on the planet, right? And you're not going to make a dent in the problem. Mm-hmm. And we understand fully that we have to charge corporations on the whole to make these overall changes from the meat industry to every industry that uses any kind of plastic. Like it's like our federal government has the power to be like, yeah, you can't sell this shit here anymore. It's literally destroying our planet. And they just don't. We understand for a fact that the coal and oil companies were like, yeah, we know you could have had an electric car in the 90s, but we didn't like that shit. So we cut that out real fast. We understand that electric cars are not even to the full extent of like bringing us down to zero emissions because their factories create a ton of emissions. Like, it is such a large scale problem that could, I don't want to say easily be solved, but there's so many things we could easily do to make larger dents in this. And what's most frustrating is that scientists are now have this like giant force of people just being like, we're just choosing not to believe anything you say. We just choose of our own volition to ignore like sound science. So at this point, I don't know. Like, it scares me because I believe in science, but there's so many people who are like, the earth just changes. This is God. What can we do? It's over. Like, you know, people die, whatever. I just, at this point, I'm caught between like really pressuring politicians to make active legal changes so that at least, you know, our country, who we are a huge part of the problem, can start making a drastic change, and throwing my hands up and being like, well, I had a pretty good life. I'm not going to bring children in this world. And the human race will be over by 2050, and maybe that's a blessing. Maybe it's what we deserve.
I'll die as the fires right before they consume me, and I'll be like, I'll it was really good. At least I didn't get those leave emissions into my body. Behind.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's horrifying. It's understandable.
I mean, it's so overwhelming. It almost is like my first thought is like I just go into absolute panic. You know, like you just go into absolute panic and then you're like, okay, how do you chunk it down? How do you simplify something and start with like small steps? But then it feels like we're so far past that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I always come back to like, well, this isn't going to change because everyone is thinking, well, how does climate change affect me making money? Right. It always just comes back to, well, you know, it's just, how much money can I lose? How much money can I get? Like, it's just money, 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 money. Mm-hmm. The only peace of mind is like that it's a global problem, you know, because if it was just a U.S. problem, I just don't believe you can't even convince a person to take a vaccine in a pandemic. you're going to have them try to like lower the admission. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, it's God's will. It's blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. I mean, the only trust I have right now is like if everyone globally, like these summits and stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
I really I'm not having kids. I don't believe in religion. There is no God. Like, so I feel like, okay, you know, but like, then you just look at like, how about all like, these people that have children? Like, yeah. how about all right. these kids that like, how I about all care. These parents? Like, you're the head of a company. You're in charge of all this garbage going up in the air. Like, how do you not have just a moment of pause? Be like, how can I leave the world a better place?
I mean, I think because they've had their wealth has afforded them the privilege of being insulated from many different things that are destabilizing.
Well, your people. Grandchild is going to burn in the heat of the sun, Daryl.
Well, I'm actually working on a spaceship with some other billionaires. No, so
we're
going to
be
kids,
off on another planet.
They'll be fucking really. In space while you guys are crying on Earth, okay? We'll be okay.
My one sliver of hope is that we were able to do something about acid rain in the 70s when it was very potentially like, I mean, we're melting statues and corroding buildings and like, people were like, this is really awful. We have to do something. And then they were like, get rid of that aerosol. Like, cap it. Yeah. Can't be done. Obviously, this is a much larger problem. But I feel like as a human race, we tend to wait until we're like, now? No, we got a few more years. We can
yeah,
wait.
You
wait.
Always think you have more time. Can you imagine if we told everyone, like, be a vegetarian and carpool for like 5 years? Mm-hmm. If everyone right now didn't have like just small things on an individual level you could do. Don't buy your fifth car. Can I swear on this show?
Yeah, yeah.
You fucking gross Range Rover piece of shit. I'm just saying, like, if everyone bought one less car and if you just said carpool and eat more vegetables.
But Aaron, like, I you know what I mean? Like, Becky's music on the way to work. I need my own car.
Yeah, right.
Like, just think of what we could do. Just think of what we could do if everyone just sacrificed just a little, little.
But I think that's where the tough part comes in, right? Because we're sort of looking at a system because unfortunately these issues have to be solved legislatively. Like it's a political solution.
No, I know,
because
no one will give up their eighth car or their triple hamburger.
And you're looking at that and going, well, that ain't going to fucking work. So now it's like, well, what can we do? And that is, I think, absolutely something that we all need to think more consciously about. But the fact that we don't even have the kind of, you know, intense pressure coming from government to go after, like, you know, it's just think of like all these infinite growth economies that we have where it's all about infinite growth. And it's never about like, yeah, to a point, because then once you start growing infinitely, that starts hollowing out a bunch of other shit and only, you know, contributes more to the problem. Like, it's so easy to just sort of be like, well, fuck it. They're not going to do anything. And that's what I think is another thing to point out, because, you know, the Senate has an infrastructure bill. They put it their bipartisan infrastructure deal first that they said, OK, we're close to getting it solved. But that's not even coming close to solving any sort of climate issues in a substantive way. It's more about this bill that they're on the verge of passing is more about physical infrastructure like roads and like broadband and places they need it, which are admirable pursuits. And I understand those improvements are necessary. But the real hope is going to lie with like this other $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation bill that they're also talking about, hopefully passing. But again, you look at how senators are bristling over the price tag, and it puts you again back in the place where you're like, oh my, the fuck are we going to do? Because two people are like, well, it seems like too much money. And
this is an individual. This is a society built on individual success, mm-hmm. you know, individual wealth. Horatio Alger, just pull yourself up, just put on bootstraps. You can do
that
it.
Even there.
It's
right.
you. You know what I mean? Like, I have the wind is out of my sails because literally based on everything before, but really the pandemic, how we can't even come together in an immediate national and global crisis.
Right.
We can't even come together to wear a fucking mask.
Right.
I'm not even talking about the vaccine. So now we're going to, you know what you should do to help the planet? Is that, I mean,
imagine telling someone who's not wearing a mask or getting a vaccine to be like, you can't eat beef. They'd
you know,
be like, yeah,
they'll shoot
right.
They're just going to shoot you in the
asshole.
Face.
We see what happens when people say that to Texans and like Yeah. Obviously not all Texans, but there's definitely certain Texans who are like, take away, I should have steak every night for dinner. How dare you?
Right. My colon deserves to deteriorate with beef. That's my God-given right. And I think, and I get it, you know, everyone is sort of dealing with this in their own human fucked up way. Because you, again, you sort of look at just in general, right? We have all these little culture war battles that we do. That really, in a lot of instances, like, we're so focused on a lot of smaller things because it's a distraction from climate change. Like, if you really think about one of the most pressing issues that we face on this planet as an entire fucking globe, right? It's that the Earth could be uninhabitable in certain places.
It should be number one. Yeah. You want to start a small business? Where? In the sea of fire?
Well, like, but it's, you know, my right. It's my right to prove someone doesn't have a vaccine as a business. Or like, zoom out a bit, sir. Zoom out. A little bit.
And that's a great expression.
You know, politicians, they're running campaigns based on safety, you know, the rule of law. And like, you know, you see a lot of people complaining, like, they're like, people are peeing in the streets and like there's chaos and all this other stuff. It seems like we've substituted a lot of these smaller issues for really all of the sort of focus that climate change can take up. But this is a natural phenomenon because we're overwhelmed. We feel completely powerless to this thing that feels like such a sincere and intense existential threat. That's like, fuck it, man. Like, I can't even, like, let's fucking argue about, like, if rats have empathy or something like that and just do that.
Because, obviously, they don't. I mean, have you met any of them?
Well, there was an interesting study about that, actually, that they sometimes do, but they sometimes realize they have to keep going on. Like, there was a study about, like, rats seeing each other in cages. Anyway. That's the whole.
You mean like Ratatouille?
Yeah, kind of. But then we also go along and like accuse like this like idea of chaos, like, you know, Joe Biden has said if we, you know, end the filibuster or amend it, it could be chaos. It could be chaos for people. It's not acknowledging the chaos that exists now. It's not acknowledging the chaos that will come when we have no rules around how we vote and there is no way to control Republican held districts from just overturning election results, or the fact that we'll just let the earth burn just right in front of our eyes.
It's just because, like, Pelosi complaining about the fact that, like, oh, well, you know, some people may not want to pay other people's student loans. What if you are a future? Like, this is the things that we have been doing for forever. It's the point of being in a society, is that we make sure that we're all pretty good. And then if you get, like, independently good, great for you. But, like, the goal of a society should be to make sure that most of us are okay. And it's mind blowing the way a lot of people are like, well, what if we hurt someone's feelings? Or what if someone just doesn't want to do that? Sometimes you gotta do stuff you don't want to do. Like, I don't understand the inability to just be like, listen, this is the highest good and we need to move in that direction.
Imagine this, right? Y'all have been at jobs you're about to quit, right?
Oh, sure.
Imagine the biggest fucking project shows up at this company, at the company you work at, and you're already like, yo, I'm out this motherfucker, bro. Like, the second I get my I'm out this. But think of how old some of these people are in leadership. They're in the same fucking place in their careers. They're like, man, I'm fucking out this motherfucker. You kidding me? I can't deal with all this shit. And now you got climate change. They don't have the will to fucking address this in any way that is substantive. It's like the same energy. We're relying on people who have one foot out the fucking door and one foot in the grave to fucking solve a thing.
Who yelled at the kids for talking to her about climate change? And she was like, it happened like two or three years ago, like Girl Scouts came to her office like, hey, we really want to, was it Feinstein? I think so. They were like, we really want to push you to like make changes on climate change. She was like, you don't get to come in here and make demands of me, children. It was like, that's literally their planet.
We said we're dying. We're going to die if you just sit there. Yeah. And I get it. It all comes together to this omni-crisis that I think humans are facing. And to your point, Aaron, like, why this idea of having your shit together? That seems like the last thing you can do when we truly, you'd hope that the focus can be on pressuring leadership to do the right thing. And we'll see what happens. I mean, they're going to have this meeting in Glasgow. And if you're in Europe or you're a leader of, you know, you see what's happening in the Mediterranean and Turkey and Greece. It's on fire right now. There's a video clip of people fleeing this fire in this lake in Greece. And it looked like some straight up 2012 shit. Yeah. They were like on a ferry and like the flames were just like coming, like it just engulfed this entire hillside. And you're like, Yeah,
I don't know. Everything should come to a halt right now. And our only priority should be climate change. until you just feel like all these people in charge, and I'm putting Republicans and Democrats all under the bus here, because sure. It's, you know, it's just election, get elected, and you're like, when is anybody going to take a pause just for one second and be like, if we don't have a plan, none of this matters. Yeah. I don't understand. Like, they're, unless they're directly impacted, unless they go back to their house after a vote and there's like a ring of fire or they're in a sinkhole, it feels like nothing will
right.
get through to them. You know, yeah. it has to directly impact them or their pocketbook. Like, that's yeah. it.
So, I mean, I think that's what's funny is like most people seem to see the effects that are happening around them. It'll be another to then wait and see how we legislate our way out of this. Or if, you know, like what happens, because there is a world where we do nothing and we still have very rigid borders, and you will see people in mass migrate yeah. to escape climate change. And then you will see real yeah. conflicts pop up around the world over resources that are going to be solved with arms.
It's going to happen here.
Yeah.
It's already happening.
I mean, it's already happening. It's
the
yeah,
state.
It already
like people are going to be like, okay, I'm going to go to New England. I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
right now, that's like almost the most moderate as I grew up. And I'm like, it's going to be like people crossing the border into Rhode Island and Connecticut in mm-hmm. 40 years. Armed right. people. You can't. I mean, it's literally going to happen within our states.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing is while many people just look at sort of like, well, I don't know, like, what are we going to do about it? You have to really sort of think holistically about what yeah. this all means, like to be on this course and how it will inspire other people and affect other people in their movement and just natural, our innate habit or just our will as human beings to survive. And that's going to be to go to where we're safe, where we find that we know there are resources. So
this is Lord of the Flies. I yeah, mean, it all comes back to piggy on the island.
Right. And the clock is ticking, but there is, you know, their whole thing was, yes, it's bad. And there are things that cannot be reversed. But we can do a hell of a lot to yeah. actually change it. So you don't want to get fully black-pilled here and say like, well, it's the jig is completely up.
Not yet.
But we're at the yeah. point where like we done burnt one side of the toast. So you don't want to burn the other side and then it's all fucked up.
Unplug the toaster, yeah, people.
Exactly. Please. Or at least
step
turn the
away
setting
from
down.
The toaster.
Mm. All right, let's take a quick break, pay some bills, and we'll talk about something a little more fun after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bye.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. Phew.
That was hefty.
Wow.
We did a lot.
That was hefty. Hey, but look, we're doing what we can. And it's tough. Oh, one other thing I just wanted to add about that climate change thing was like also the way our media reports it, it's really difficult for the media to report it properly. One, because mainstream media is, you know, a lot of journalists don't have the bandwidth or the expertise to pour through a legislative bill and say, how much money for this? And then be able to extrapolate a dollar amount and then say, wow, $50 billion towards solar is actually nothing at all, you know, because we're sort of caught up in this thing of saying like, oh, wow, this much for this, that's good. This much for that, that's good. But we don't, it's seldom are we getting the real kind of hard scientific analysis on like what these numbers actually mean. Because again, when you're like a journalist at maybe the New York Times, you need to maintain relationships with politicians. So going back and be like ripping up their, you know, through commentary, what their bills actually do or don't do might not be a great tactic. So,
and for the reader,
yeah,
Miles, absolutely. And for the reader,
yeah,
like it, these numbers get so large, they become meaningless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All I can get my hand around is like, if I see $100 bill, I'm like, oh, that looks good.
That's good.
Then it gets into crazy land. 27 gazillion for solar. Sounds great. I have no idea what that means. Billion? Yeah. I don't know what that, like, you know what I mean? It's just bananas numbers. They add zeros and then they all go, this is great. No idea. And I feel like I'm an informed person and I have no idea.
Right. And then we're forced to having to like really look for that scientific analysis. I mean, it's out there, but at the same time, they're not getting the same platform like on TV or whatever, because it seems like a lot of the time they'll say it's alarm, like it's being alarmist or whatever. It's like, dude. We're past, like,
this is the definition of alarmist. This is it.
This is the bell.
This is get under your desks. This is, come on.
Yeah. No more bullshitting ourselves. Okay. Let's just move on to some people who might be bullshitting themselves, nursing their egoic wounds. Because at the end of last week, we found out, you know, Barack Obama, he's having his 60th birthday at Martha's Vineyard and had to significantly downsize the guest list.
No, that was painful.
To only close friends and family. But it seemed like it was popping off.
Of course it was.
But, you know, apparently Beyonce and Jigga, Jay-Z, they are close friends and family, as of many other celebrities.
Yep.
But others weren't so lucky, like David Axelrod, his
campaign
chair. David Letterman, Conan also, O'Brien, and Larry David, just to name a few.
All the comics.
None of these people are okay. Listen, if you're having a birthday party, right?
Yeah,
you want Beyonce there. Like that just makes sense.
Yeah,
Beyonce was on our guest list, and she showed up. She sometimes doesn't show up to the Grammys. Frequently late. Okay,
right.
But she showed up. That makes sense to me. David Letterman's going to be asleep by 9. He's not interested.
Yeah.
He's done. It's fine. I'm sure David was like, oh, thank God.
It'll be a bummer.
Go anyway. I don't. Conan is probably hurt. I'm not going to lie. Conan's like, I can hang. I'm in there. I'm a fun guy. I feel like Larry David was also like, meh. in his classic GIF mode.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what's funny, because every sort of comedic take on the internet was a sort of like, this feels like a Curb episode where Larry David is invited to Obama's birthday and then not invited. And then whatever he does after that. I'm trying to figure out how the premise would go in an actual Curb episode. If it's that, you know, like one thing would be that, like, if COVID wasn't a thing and that wasn't the reason for him being disinvited, it's because like he'd probably be talking up like a beautiful woman because it's single Larry. And he's like, you know, we can go to Obama's birthday. And they go out to Martha's Vineyard. And then at the door, they're like, sorry, Mr. David, we can't let you in. And he's like, but I'm on the list. And it's like, and then they find out it's like something he said in the past that like pissed off the Obamas or whatever. And he's like, or I don't know.
That's an easy cross out for me. And it probably honestly behind the scenes was a very easy cross out. I mean, this is like your last breath dying words. You don't disinvite Beyonce. You don't have a party without Beyonce. When you're on the dance floor, do you want David Letterman? Good God, no. You need to start. I mean, Beyonce's like the ultimate guest to literally anything.
Yeah,
old there's white male comics.
More than Barack Obama, even. You'd be like, Obama came to my birthday. You'd be like, oh, okay, that's cool. It was like, Beyonce. Oh, there's, my
God. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
How did you pull that one?
I mean, there's no, this is the easiest cross out. You just mentioned four dudes where you're like, yeah, nice to have. Conan's the shining star out of all of them.
Right.
But you take out 20 before, you take out literally 70% of the guest list before you disinvite Beyonce.
Yeah. Because then Jay-Z
comes along great, but I'm really only concerned about Beyonce.
My mother might not
make
it to my party if I'm like, oh, Beyonce, mom, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. Come on. I mean, I hate to do this, but you get it, right? You get it. I'll Photoshop you into the pics. I swear to God. But like, you know, you look at Oprah and Ava DuVernay, they said, no, actually, we're not going to go because of Delta. Thank you so much.
Oprah said if you come to her house and you are vaccinated, you must still do a minimum of a 5-day quarantine before you can enter her main domicile. She was like, really? She is not playing around with this virus, okay? She said, it's not going to catch me in my Hawaiian lair, okay? I'm safe here. You're not jeopardizing that for me.
She's like, Beyonce and
Gail.
And?
It was so funny because Gail asked Oprah, she was like, Oprah, you know I'm vaccinated. So you say, if I came, I still have to quarantine? She's like, not if you flew on a private jet. Gail said, girl, you know I don't always fly that way. And I said, this is the wildest rich people conversation I have ever heard.
Right.
That's
you need to take a PJ
hilarious.
And come see me immediately, or you quarantine for 5 days.
You don't fly a private earth fucker jet? Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, you're going to have to quarantine.
Part of the quarantine just rolling around in bags of cash for 5 days?
It definitely is.
Yeah. Please wash the poor stink off of you with these money bags.
Just take all these. We don't have hand towels. We just have just $100 bills that you just wipe your face with.
Yeah, and she'll know. She can smell it on people. Please use this potpourri. It's a shredded dollar bill.
Just bags of cash.
I want to say I would be better in her position, but I have no idea.
Yeah,
no,
right.
I hear it. I mean, that's... But the thing is, I would still like to get invited. I'll do all of that to go to Oprah's house.
She's like, I'm not that man elected. I'm not worried about it. He'll call me tomorrow.
Yeah. She's like, I'll dance with him another time.
And she's like, honestly, that's the thing. That was the party for the press to think that he had. The real one happened in this other look. You guys won't
truly.
Yeah.
It was in an underground bunker in the fucking Adirondacks.
And all of Destiny's Child was there. So,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Come on.
They reunited. You know, they reunited. All right. And then finally, Joelle, what's happening in the movie world? Because as I told you, I am woefully out of touch. Like, whoa.
Well,
like,
listen,
Black Rock, rest in peace, whoa.
Here's where your political money knowledge is going to come in hand and help me, because I know about the movies, but we're having to be asked big questions, the film industry right now. Okay, so Suicide Squad, some people are calling it 2, but it's actually titled The Suicide Squad, came out over the weekend. HBO Max decided to launch it both
one
in
question.
Theaters. Yes.
You said it's not suicide, because it's James Gunn directed this one, right?
Yes,
I know
did.
This much. He did this one, and they're treating it. It's not as like a piece that actually works with the first one. That's
so
why they changed it to
some of the confusion, right?
Okay.
So they released it on both platforms, and there's a lot of concern about like why didn't this movie do well, right? It did fine, right? It made I think it did 26.5 million domestic and 72.2 million worldwide, which is I think the goalpost was like 30 million was the benchmark for like, this is an okay weekend opener. There's a lot of speculation about what happened. Some people think it's this title situation. Even my roommate even asked, he's like, is this a sequel? Technically, it is a sequel. It's all the same, like, main player characters. Amanda Waller, played by Viola Davis, is still there. You have Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn is still there. But the Joker isn't there, and Will Smith isn't there, right? But if you're familiar with the comic and the context of these characters, that's what Suicide Squad is. It's, hey, some supervillains on death row. We're going to bring you in, put you out on an impossible mission. You may die. If you come back, we'll take some years off your sentence. You may have to go back out in the field again. If it's not a sequel and it doesn't have the star, there's a lot of conversations like, oh, well, Will Smith was in it, so people didn't want to see it. I am not convinced, like, post-2013, that star power is a thing anymore. With the advent of the internet and specifically social media, we have a lot of different things that qualify as a star. Now, Will Smith is obviously iconic giant. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but I don't know, like, his last couple of movies, not all have performed Will Smith levels of great. I don't think that him not being there is the case, especially when you have somebody like Idris Elba, who maybe isn't the box office sensation that a Will Smith is, but trends reasonably well, and I think does bring certain gravitas to films and puts butts in seats. There's also the concern, people were questioning, you know, is it because of COVID? I think COVID has a big impact, but because it didn't make as much as, say, a Space Jam, A New Legacy, which did cross that 30 million to 31 million, or Jungle Cruise, 35 million, people are like, well, it couldn't be COVID, but it's rated R. There's so many, like, factors that go into, like, why didn't this movie make a lot of money? But what's really upsetting to me is that a lot of people are suggesting that, like, nobody wanted to see it, period. And I just don't think that's the case. I think they made a huge gamble going with an R-rated film, right? We know PG-13s will always make more money because teenagers will go out and see it. They have a lot of disposable cash, blah, blah, blah. I think that this movie is, you can't even argue, it's so much better than the original one. Leaps and bounds better, mostly because Warner Brothers didn't decide to do a re-edit based off of an ad because people had good reactions to it. Gunn, like, really held it down. It's super violent. It's absolutely, like, digs into the essential of these characters and evolves them. I think that there's a lot to love about this, but I do wonder, like, a lot of people are saying, like, oh, well, it's not successful or this is a failure. It has not yet made its money back. I think this movie had a budget of $107 million, something like that. A lot of money went into making this movie, which, if you compare it to similar movies, Deadpool 2 was made for $110 million, Logan was made for $97 million, Joker was made for $65 million. The last two are R-rated movies. They made a lot of money back. Some people thought it was like, oh, this is too much money to spend on an R-rated film. I think DC is doing the only thing it can do, especially when it's up against a giant like Marvel. Like, it's DC and Marvel, period, when it comes to comics. There's a ton of other comic book companies, but those are the two major ones. And Warner Brothers has to do something to pull out ahead and try to be competitive with Marvel. It's like their only goal. It's the only thing that makes sense to them.
Right.
To lean into an R-rated market when it's something Disney absolutely will not do with their main brand is the only thing that makes sense. And if you're going to make content that good in the 90s, this is a smash hit because it's going to keep running in theaters. People are going to be like, oh God, I have to see that. I am not going to a theater right now, but I want to see it in theaters. It's so good. I've already seen it twice. Would absolutely have paid for the privilege on HBO Max to view it. It is a really, really solid film with some haywire stuff in the end. But for the most part, really enjoyable film, good action, great performers. Like, you've never had Viola Davis and Idris Elba go toe-to-toe, but in this movie they do, and it's exciting and it's fun. I think this is a smart move. I think that we as a community, film folks, have to get back into the idea of, like, let a movie breathe. A movie should not be the lifetime of a movie should not exist based off of its opening weekend numbers. I think if we look back, we just watched this whole behind-the-scenes thing on Pretty Woman. Pretty Woman ran for like a year and a half in theaters. And I know we don't live in that world anymore, but I wish we had found a way to, like, look beyond just how much money did this movie make as far as, like, is this successful? And will this, like, there's sort of people being like, well, heads are about to roll at DC. So many people are going to get fired. I was like, but for what? For making a solid movie that maybe hasn't quite found its audience yet?
That doesn't make any sense. It's because we use this very messed up lens to look at, to quantify success right now. And I think especially like in the 80s and 90s when marketing people started taking over development at the studios, yep. they completely changed the emphasis of what a film that should be made is, because they're like, we'll get the numbers marketing people in here because we just got to get stuff that like does well. Like, let's not take risks and make fun things. Let's just get nailed on after nailed on hit. And at the expense of giving people the, you know, freedom to like ideate or experiment and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I don't know if it's like what makes it an as 26.5 million because it didn't get to 30 that it fell like under 4 million short.
People need to calm down, for God's sakes. It's right. opening weekend.
In the middle of a pandemic.
In the middle. And also with all the streamers and then right to, we're not going to know numbers and this whole definition of success. This whole model's changed. Everything, throw the books. Nobody, everyone just has to be like, this is how it's done. So if it doesn't hit 89 million, it's just, you know, I mean, stupid, whatever. The movie's going to be fine. The movie's right. going to be fine.
I just think yeah. that, like, for me, this is indicative of such a much larger problem within the film industry, which is we're no longer interested in making middle movies, right? It's blockbusters or bust. And yeah, I think that's a terrible. Really bad, it's a bad call for movies, because then yeah. you're relying very specifically on star power alone, which doesn't allow you to develop new talent at all. And so what ends up happening is you get a lot of indie guys who've made a small film that did well at a film festival, get pulled up into the stratosphere of doing $100 million box office sensation, that they don't have any idea how to run or operate or direct, because they're going from maybe they had $65,000 to make a film to now they have $100 million. They've got two separate crews shooting around the clock. It's just, it's not, as far as like creating, developing talent, a sufficient model moving forward. And I do think that if we don't take some time to like find that middle ground and find and create movies that like really, I feel like tug at the heartstrings and become these like indemnable classics that we truly love. I mean, you look at things like A Kramer Versus Kramer, like all of these different kinds of movies that have, you know, young star talent, young directors and writers who are sort of just working on their craft and who want to tell something that isn't about appealing to the widest demographic, but is a story that is personal to them. That can't just stay in the indies, or it shouldn't. I just think that there yeah. has to be space for that at these larger places. And I think that while Suicide Squad was never going to be that, because I mean, it's got all of the superstars, I think when we can't even allow a movie like this to do okay instead of great, then that definitely doesn't leave any hope for the rest of these films that, you know, yeah, I think we should be making, investing
and
in.
So you're, and even last week when we were talking, or I think the day, maybe yesterday, when we were just mm-hmm. talking about how this even affects like Black filmmakers too.
Yes.
When you're focused on this like sink or swim model, and it has to be just buku bucks out the gate, especially when it comes to, you know, Black writer, director, whatever, trying to get their foot in the door. If it's not there, then boom, that immediately evaporates, because we're so over leveraged on this idea of like immediate success. Like, we have to do numbers. Like, we've got to tell people what we earned this quarter type mm-hmm, things. Mm-hmm. And we've lost.
Isn't the middle ground though? Couldn't it be more like when this whole new model of releasing a movie on HBO Max or Hulu at the same time as theater, does that take some of the pressure off? Like, if it's
no,
a lower
it
budget
a whole,
or middle movie?
No.
I'm sorry. I didn't ask that right. I meant your point, which I think is a really great point of just, it has to be this blow up. It has to be so huge. Is there a model where all these movies that have to be so big and so huge, there's a different model now of success in the theater versus maybe the smaller movies will gain traction of just a release on Hulu and a release on HBO and a release on Netflix?
The problem is we're still working out contractually how to make sure everyone gets paid in a way that's fair and equitable, right? So Scarlett Johansson just had to sue Disney, and, you know, I don't, no love lost between me and Scarlett Johansson, but I still hope she wins her suit, because in her original contract, it was based off of ticket sales, right? What she's suing is for
pandemic reality.
Right.
And, you know, very well documented, her lawyers and her team was like, yo, if you guys are going to release on streaming, that's fine, but we need to renegotiate what her back end sales looks like, right? And this is a problem that's happening all over the place. Oh, there's a really great article just came out this morning about comic book creators who are maybe seeing $5,000 checks from these movies based off characters that came from their head, right? Oh, wow. And so The issue then becomes, like, if you're putting these smaller movies on streaming and they go, well, we didn't make any ticket sales off that, so you're not getting jacked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we understand, like, in order to, for again, for a lot of Black folks, you have to create your own production company in order to get any kind of good content out there. Viola Davis has had to do it. Ava DuVernay has her own production company. Even the little girl from Blackish, Mondo Creation, like a 13-year-old mogul, created her own production
Shonda
company.
Rhimes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yarsha Edie had to make her own too.
Yeah, there's a necessity in developing your own space so that it's easier to say yes or no. You're putting up a little bit of capital, but the hope is then that you're getting some of that back in the back end. And the only way we've done that so far is through ticket sales. And so I'm just not sure if relegating smaller films strictly to streaming is going to solve or exacerbate that problem.
Gotcha.
My hope is that, you know, we find a way, because I don't think the streaming model is going anywhere. People like watching films from home. And unlike previous years, people have whole movie theaters in their house. Right?
Yeah.
Projectors and, you know, whatever couch. Sometimes they actually have the reclining chairs. Like, whatever it is, people are comfortable watching movies in their house and it's less expensive. I just think what I thought for a while is that what's going to continue to do well in movie theaters are event movies. Suicide Squad is absolutely a movie I want to see in theaters because it's so freaking big and loud. And there's something to watching, like, those, like, event movies and horror movies are better in an audience than they'll ever be at your house. Right? A scare is not as scary. You know, by yourself when there's 60 people. Oh, God, no. That's
or it's
the kind
worse.
Of
you're like, I'll turn off
it's
a fucking
totally
movie.
It's totally worse.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, no, I'm off this. No.
But then you're in the ride together. And it's like a very visceral, as close to like theatrical theater as you can get, right? Yeah. And that's what makes movies great is it was this opportunity to expand theater to places that don't typically have theater, right? It's just like.
It's just fun. The joy of going to a movie theater,
Yeah, there's something so great about the community of theater and moviegoers that I genuinely don't want to lose. But there's also something so great about film and theater creators that I just want to see them be able to do well. And maybe the answer will be more like ArcLight and, what's the Austin, Texas movie house? The Alamo.
The Draft House. Yeah.
More like if Alamo post-pandemic, they've got a pretty solid plan post-pandemic to roll out a bunch of new movie theaters across the country. If theaters like that, who really, really love cinema, the artsy aspect of it, the weird, the different, can come along, and then, you know, your standard AMCs can continue to do big budget things, I would really like to see that. And then maybe there would be like a ticket price disparity between those two. I don't do the money science math stuff, but I think that there might be a way forward in that because little movies, they deserve respect too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Suicide Squad was great. It was what it needed to be. We deserve adult content, damn it. Not everything needs to be PG-13, okay?
Thank you. We deserve adult content, damn it.
I want to see a shark rip a man in half. It's all I'm asking for, and it's great.
And you do, and you get that.
And you do.
And you shall receive. Well, thank you so much, Aaron, Joelle, for joining me today on this journey. Aaron, where can people find you and follow you and hear you, see you, listen to you? And what's a tweet that you've been liking recently?
I'll be crying in the corner about the environment. And then I'm going to continue to not eat meat. You're welcome, Globe. Aaron K. Foley, there's all kinds of informations. And then
You got it.
Shows, and then you can link to podcasts, socials, whatever. Aaron K. Foley, that's too much information. A tweet real quick. I was trolling on the Twitter, and Jackie Hoffman is one of my all-time favorite comedians and actresses. She's basically poster child for how wonderful New York City is. She tweeted this. Can we get the romantic part of this marriage over with so I can tell you about the diseases I think I have? That brought such joy to me this morning. And I love Jackie Hoffman so much. So follow Jackie Hoffman.
Oh, man. Joelle, where can people find you, follow you, hear you, experience you? And what's a tweet that you're liking?
Y'all know me. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. That's JoelleMoniqueE. A tweet I'm loving just out of its adorable sweetness for Black folks. And I'm probably for a lot of people, when an older person of your ethnicity like dabs you up and tells you you're great, it's like, transcendent. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my God, I'm doing it right. So Maxine Waters tweeted out, I'm so proud of Simone Biles, who has displayed courage and confidence and extraordinary talent. Mm. Some have said young people aren't using all of their God-given intellect and talent for success, but they're wrong. Doesn't get any better than what Simone has shown us. You go, girl. I know that you go, girl, sent Simone into the heavens. Like, all the Olympic medals, great. Blah, blah, blah. Maxine Waters is proud of me. Excellence.
Forget
and
it.
I love it.
If Maxine Waters was like, Aaron, you're doing a good job, I would die and go to heaven.
Right? Yeah, that's it.
Everyone's, like, most thoughtful, kick-ass grandmother you could possibly have is Maxine Waters.
Someone just even just looked at my shoes and said, all right.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, all right. Thank you, sir.
Miles, you're doing great. Every day you're doing great, Miles.
Aaron, you are not old enough for that to register, unfortunately.
Miles, I think you're doing really great.
Hey, sonny. Okay, I felt that. That one hit different. a tweet that I like. First one is from at OTF Rayyan, R-A-Y-Y-A-N. He said, imagine your card declined at the hookah lounge, so they delete your IG story. Like, sorry, you can't be. That we're taking away your memory.
That's hilarious.
Another one is from Yodoye Travis at Yodoye underscore Y-D-O-Y-E underscore. He said, if I say aunt, that's my aunt. If I say auntie, that's my mom's friend. And that's something everyone needs to realize, the distinction between the two. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can find the show at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, I believe, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes!
Thank you. And that's where you get that stuff. Just to let you know, what is this? Yes, this is the Daily Zeitgeist. That's correct. And it's also a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. And along with that, where you go see the footnotes, check out the song that we are going to ride out on today. You say, hey, what are we riding out on today? Well, I have something in store for you. This is a track by Samir and Aboud, which I believe they are like a Lebanese funk disco act from the 80s. And they're on this like other album that's like a collection of Middle Eastern like funk and disco songs. And this track is called Games because they're done playing games. And I think a lot of people are done playing games too, because we need to start doing some real stuff on this planet. But this track is really upbeat. And when you hear it, you're like, okay, go off Samir and Aboud in the 80s in Lebanon. Yes. So check this out. It's called Games. So yeah, until then. We will see you later with the trending episode to tell you what's trending. Other than that, take care of each other, and we'll see you then. Bye.
Goodbye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.